Lord God, as you teach us about this stewardship of legacy, for living our life in the long term this morning, may we hear with our ears and receive with our hearts and apply with our lives that which you will teach us. Amen. I want to share as quickly as can three legacy stories from the scripture. One is from Jeremiah, another is from Jesus, and one is from Abraham. In Jeremiah 35, there's a story that may not be familiar to many of us. In fact, it was one I just came upon myself and realized the importance of this story. Jeremiah had a tough job. He was a prophet of bad news. Jeremiah's message was, God is fed up, people of Israel. And so when Jeremiah stood up to speak, people would start to leave. You know what I mean? We as pastors know that feeling, and so he says, you've exhausted God's patience and the Babylonians have been appointed to come and take the whole nation captive into exile. And verses 1-3 in this chapter 35 says this. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah during the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. I brought them into the house of the Lord, said Jeremiah, and then I set pitchers full of wine and some cups before them and said to them, drink some wine. Now here's the deal. The Rechabites were like the Amish in Israel. They preserved an old-fashioned nomadic lifestyle away from the towns and the cities. They adopted Israel's faith. They were passionate about Yahweh, passionate about being nomads, and that made them kind of weird. And go figure it. The Rechabites don't drink wine. Neither do United Methodists. Ha-ha, you know. I'll let that come. Never mind. So verses 5 and 6, I set a pitcher full of wine, says Jeremiah, before them and said, drink some wine. But they replied, we do not drink wine because our ancestor Jehonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command, neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Now, realize this, under the circumstances of exile and being as it is a time of crisis, maybe the usual family rules would get suspended. How about a little wine? And they say, no. Jeremiah turns to the people of Judah and says in verse 17, the Lord God Almighty says, learn a lesson here about obedience. The Rechabites don't drink wine because 200 years ago their ancestor Jehonadab told them once not to, but I have spoken to you again and again and again, and you refuse to listen or obey. The families of Rechab have obeyed their ancestor completely, but you have refused to listen to me. Here's a very impressive legacy. Here's a family that keeps the vows to a human leader, but the people of God break their covenant with the holy God. Jehonadab told his family once, we're not going to drink wine, and they said, okay, for the next 200 years, God commanded Israel again and again and again to turn from their sin, and they refused. The Rechabites obeyed rules that had no eternal significance. They had these peculiar cultural taboos that kept them separate. They made them look weird as the world changed around them. On the other hand, Israel totally sold out to a pagan culture, and they ended up compromising God's eternal principles, rejecting the God who loved and saved them. They squandered their spiritual heritage. That was their legacy. The Rechabites obeyed for the sake of a family tradition. How much more shall we obey God's word, the traditions of our spiritual family that preserve our spiritual heritage? And this is the takeaway here. It's pretty clear. If our desire is living for the long term, sharing the stewardship of legacy, we need to continue imprinting our truths and values, our lifestyle, and our faith, so 200 years from now, our spiritual kids and grandkids are still living it. Now, let me say this. I don't want to give the impression, I believe that God does new things all the time, and I believe the way we we transmit and share the good news that Jesus Christ can come in many different vessels. And I'm not suggesting that we get stuck in our tradition, but I want to say this. This church, our church, is about one thing, the Word of God, which contains the gospel of Christ. That word, that gospel, never changes. That's our tradition. Now, the second story is more familiar. It's the parable of the sower. Jesus speaks his very first story in the Gospel of Mark is the parable of the sower in chapter 4, and he tells the sower not to sow seeds, and some fell on weeds, and others fell on thorny ground, and others fell on rock, but Jesus ends that parable by saying that there's seed sown on good soil. They hear the word, they take it in, they put down the roots, they clear the weeds and thorns out, and they produce a crop 30, 60, 100-fold. Now, to produce a crop 30, 60, 100-fold, now that's a legacy. Why not pray, Lord, may we fall into the ground and die. Die to ourselves and die to our own agendas. And by the supernatural power of your Spirit, may we be part of a community of faith that cultivates 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. You see, this is a team effort. So let's invest ourselves in this church. This is our field. This is our faith venture. And let's build a legacy that will endure and prosper like a spectacular harvest. Year after year, a 200-year legacy, a 100-fold harvest. Now the takeaway is pretty clear. We must make sure that the spiritual field is plowed and cleared and free of weeds and thorns and rocks. And we sow for a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold. Now the third story, trying to hurry. The third story is the story of Abraham in Hebrews 11. Abraham is called to leave Mesopotamia and to go to Canaan. So here's Abraham, born and raised in the most advanced kingdom in the ancient world, Ur of the Chaldees. He's no Rechabite. He had everything civilization had to offer, and God's future for him was way beyond the horizon of his life. There's a legacy. Now get this. Can we live like that beyond the horizon of our lives? The world doesn't think like that. The world doesn't live like that. The world doesn't spend its money or invest its resources like that. That's crazy, says the world. All there is the here and now, says the world. And you've got to live for that, says the world. Now, Abraham lived by faith. He was a citizen of Chaldea. The time came for him to trade it in for another citizenship, to pledge allegiance to a kingdom he could only see and visit by faith. There's joy in that kingdom. There's peace in that kingdom. There's the shalom of God in that kingdom. There's the presence of God in that kingdom that fills that kingdom, and that kingdom is forever. And so one night, God woke up Abraham and said, come outside, I want to show you something. Look up into the skies, count the number of stars in the sky. And right there, as old as he was, Abraham believed God for 1 million grandchildren. So can we pray, God, give us 1 million grandchildren who come to faith in Christ through the ministry of this church? The missions this church supports, the kids we raise, our presence and witness to this community? Can we live beyond the horizon of our lives? Listen to how Hebrews describes people who do this. All these people were still living by faith, but when they died, they did not receive all the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers. And looking for a country of their own, longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Wow. Now, the takeaway is pretty clear. We need to pledge our allegiance every day to the King of Kings, to a heavenly country, the kingdom of God, for a massive spiritual posterity over the next 100 years and beyond. Not to glorify us, but to glorify God. Lord, give us a million grandchildren. Now, living on this side of the cross and on this side of Easter morning is to live beyond this life, to invest in something bigger than ourselves, to invest in something bigger than our lives, to spend our lives like we really believe in eternal life. That's legacy. That's how we live for the long term. And so we must continue imprinting our truths and values, our lifestyle and our faith, so that 200 years from now, our spiritual kids and grandkids are still living it. We must make sure the spiritual field here is plowed and cleared and free of all weeds and thorns and rocks. And we must sow for a harvest of 30, 60, 100 fold. We must pledge our allegiance every day to the kingdom of King of Kings, to a heavenly city, the kingdom of God, for a massive spiritual posterity over the next 100 years and beyond. And that will not glorify us. That will glorify God. Whew. Amen. Amen.